Notice the pronoun, your, it's your light. Doesn't say Strand's light or Shower's light or Montgomery's light or one of the teacher's light. Doesn't say the priest's light. It says your light. Doesn't say the light of the person sitting next to you in the pew or beside you in the pew. It says your light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your light reflecting God's light and give praise to Him. Sermon is entitled Sychar, Visited by Jesus. It's the gospel for today. I don't know if you look at sermon titles. I would suppose maybe 5% of you look at sermon titles. And if you look at sermon titles, I have deceived you, because Jesus never made it into Sychar. Jesus didn't visit Sychar. He stopped 3/4 of a mile short when he was at the well of Sychar. So you ask me, why didn't he go into Sychar? Was there some major festival happening in Jerusalem? And he knew that 30 miles from Jerusalem, Sychar would be filled with tourists. Did he not go because he knew there'd be no room in the inn like there was 33 years earlier when he was born? Is that why he didn't go in? Do they have lousy restaurants in Sychar? Is that why he skipped it? Did they treat him rudely when he had been there 9 months earlier? And did he say to his disciples, I'm never coming back to this village again? Is that why he didn't bring up the gospel of Sychar? There was no place he ever went during those 3 years that he didn't bring the gospel. Didn't matter whether it was rich man Zacchaeus or some blind poor man like Bartimaeus. Didn't matter where he went. He always brought the gospel. Samaria, Galilee, Jerusalem, Judea, always the gospel. Why didn't he bring the gospel to Sychar? Were they not important enough? Is that why he didn't go? They weren't important enough. Were they too small? At one time, Sychar was known as Shechem in the Old Testament. It's one of the most famous cities in the Old Testament. Abraham's bones are buried there. They had major assemblies of the Israelites there. Shechem at one time was the capital of Israel. But when the capitals move from Hebron to Jerusalem, all of a sudden the people leave Shechem and they head to Jerusalem. And now it is known as Sychar. Is it too small for him to bother with? Did he say Jerusalem and Jericho? Yeah, those are good places, a lot of people. It's too small for me to go to Sychar. And as soon as you say that, you know you made a mistake. Remember that day when the women are bringing little children to Jesus? They got them all dressed up and all looking pretty, and they say, Jesus is coming down the road. You're going to meet Jesus. And the disciples say, no, you're not going to meet Jesus. Ladies, get these children out of here. He's a busy man. And what does Jesus say when he sees what's going on? He said, don't you ever do that again. Whether I'm here or whether I'm not here, don't you ever do that again. If it's one child that wants to come to me, don't you ever do that again. And then he expands. He says, unless you have faith like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. What does he mean? So if you have a little child, 3 or 4 years of age, what a wonder that is, right? They believe every single word you ever say. They believe every promise you ever give them. If you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, it's just something to be around a 3 or 4 year old. They listen to every word you say, believe every word you say. And if you say, I'm worried about this, then your mom's going to say what my mom said. Stop worrying about that, Paul. I'll worry for you. And you actually believe them, that that's possible. And if you're troubled with some fear, you go creeping into your dad's office and say, do you mind if I bother you for a moment? Or you go creeping up to your mama and you say, I'm afraid of this. And they say to you, don't be afraid. And as soon as your mom or dad say to you, don't be afraid, you stop being afraid. Not if you're 6 or 7 years of age, but if you're 3 or 4 years of age. If you're a paedion, that's the word in the Greek. A paedion, a child 3 years of age or under. If you climb into mom or dad's presence, your fears go away. That's what Jesus means. Because if Paul Strand and you guys had a faith like a 3-year-old child, every one of the promises that God has given us, we would believe it without a fragment of doubt. And whatever fears and worries we have, when Jesus says, Matthew 11:28, bring to me your fears and your worries. Leave them with me, walk away, and you'll have what a 3-year-old child has. You will have peace in your heart and in your life. I wish we never would have grown older in that respect, that we could have a faith like a little child's. How different our lives would be. Was Sychar too small for Jesus? No. Little children, he took them in his arms, Luke 18:15, and he blessed the children. He said, the hairs on your head are all numbered, Matthew 10. He says, the sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without God knowing it, and you're of more importance than many sparrows. Was Sychar too small? No. Bartimaeus, he was not too down the socioeconomic scale that Jesus didn't stop. The crippled man who was led down to the hole in the roof, Jesus didn't say, are you kidding me? There's no one in the Bible, as you see those stories in the gospel, whether it was Zacchaeus or whether it was Bartimaeus or whether it was the leper, there was no one who was not important to Jesus. They might not have been important to you and me, but they were important to him. And so none of those reasons I've given you were the reasons he didn't go into Sychar. Are you ready for the reason? Get to it, Strand. Land the plane, and so I shall. Why didn't he go into Sychar? Because he didn't have to. Why didn't he have to? You're still not landing the plane. Why didn't he have to? Because they were a righteous people and they didn't need him? No. Why didn't he go into Sychar? Because someone else went for him. She didn't sign a contract. He didn't offer her $20 an hour. Someone went into the town for him. The woman at the well in John chapter 4 that we just read. The nameless woman at the well, she went into Sychar with all the power of God flowing through her. That's why he didn't have to go into Sychar. He put streams of living water into the woman, John 7:38. And the streams of living water couldn't stay in sight of her. They changed who she was almost immediately, and she goes into Sychar and delivers the message. Sychar didn't like this lady. She was the main source of gossip. She went at 1 o'clock in the afternoon instead of 6 o'clock in the morning because she knew that no one could stand to be around her. Was she Bartimaeus? Was she crippled? Did she have leprosy? No. She had 5 husbands and was living with number 6. And this woman, when streams of living water entered her, she marched 3/4 of a mile and she knocked on every door in Sychar. And she said, you must come with me because the Messiah is by the well. Pastor Schauer last week preached a marvelous sermon on the grace of God. That's what the woman brought. God's grace into the city, and it flooded it like a tsunami. She didn't have to wait for Pentecost. Pentecost came 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection. She didn't have to wait to Pentecost. Holy Spirit came to her there at that moment by Jacob's well. Thief on the cross didn't have to wait to Pentecost. He'd be in deep trouble if he had to wait to Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to bring him to the faith. The Holy Spirit comes anytime, anywhere, any place. You have to understand that it wasn't just the disciples on Pentecost that had flames of fire on their head. There were 120 people in that room, and 120 people had flames of fire on their head. And Jesus said, some of you, 120, are going to stay in Jerusalem, and some are going to stay in Samaria, and some are going to go to Judea, and some are going to go to Spain, and some are going to go to Northern Africa, where Simon, who carries my cross, in a few weeks lives. I'm sending you out. Your light, 120 of you, your light, not just Simon Peter's light, but your light will go out. Jesus said to them as he ascends up into heaven, Acts 1:8, stay in Jerusalem until the power from on high comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, streams of living water, they won't leak out of you. They'll stream out of you wherever you go. Why doesn't Jesus have to come to your high school? Why doesn't Jesus have to come to your football team? Why doesn't Jesus have to come to your shop, to your fraternity, to your sorority? Why doesn't Jesus have to come to your neighborhood? 2 Corinthians 5:19. We are ambassadors for Christ. It is as if God were placing his message in us to bring to others. In a way, I can hardly wait till Wednesday for the old knee surgery. I get to keep my kneecap, so they tell me. I can hardly wait. For one, I'm tired of the pain. Thank you. You're tired of seeing me hobble around. Thank you. But the other reason is this. I'm going to bring the light with me. Dr. Puri and the nurses and the anesthesiologists, I'm going to bring the light to them. It will not be LA Fitness. It'll not be here. How can you bring the light? You say, man, I'm not very eloquent with my speech. Neither was Moses. How can you bring the light? The light is this. Are you ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay? You can do that. You might not be able to speak, but you can do that. You can bring the love and joy and peace wherever you are. And maybe it will lead to a discussion about the light that has flooded your life and changes everything for you. You can bring that light, as did this woman. In the gospel, you saw what happened when she brought the light. Half the people believed that Jesus was the Messiah because she said, man, this guy knows everything about me. And Jesus stays for 2 days at Sychar's well. Notice he still doesn't go into the city. Maybe it was restaurants or something. I don't know. He doesn't go into the city. They come to him. And by the time 2 days are done, he's done so many miracles of healing. He's done so much teaching. The entire city believes in him. Like when Jonah was at Nineveh, the entire city, 120,000, believed in him. Can you bring the light? I think so. Can you bring love and kindness with you? You're going to love this. I didn't mention it at the other services. So I'm teaching what? I'm teaching seventh graders last week. And I say to them, put your heads down. I don't want anyone to influence your decision here. So I said, how many of your parents, if someone's trying to move in to your lane because the other lane is shut, how many of your parents will let them in? Zero. Zero. I then said to the kiddos, I said, tell me this. Keep your heads down. I said, tell me this. How many of you, if you were driving, would let someone come in? Hand and a half. One hand goes up, the other kind of cowardly. Okay, are you ready for this one? So I said to them, here's a third question. It's about 5 minutes later. I took a little break here. 5 minutes later, I said, how many of you think that you're the type of person who puts other people ahead of yourself? How many of you are more concerned about other people than you are about yourself? I had 8 or 9 hands go up. I did not connect that with letting people in your lane during a traffic situation. Oh, my goodness. Here's this lady destroyed by this town. And when Jesus floods her with streams of living water, that's where she goes. And maybe the first door she knocked at was the woman next door who would spit as she walked by. Well, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Favorite verse in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 1, one of my favorite verses, 1 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. Listen carefully to the wording. This is a church at Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul says to them, you are a model to the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, two Greek provinces. You're a model to the believers there. Because the word of the Lord goes forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place in this world, the word of God goes forth from you. And then he said, I don't need to come. I do not need to come to Macedonia and Achaia because you have delivered the light. Astonishing. Thessalonica was a major seaport on the Ignatian Way. From all over the world, they came to Thessalonica and they left. And what Paul was saying, whenever someone came to Thessalonica, you brought the light to them. We don't need to do any work. In the Bible, she doesn't have a name. The Greek Orthodox Church has given her a name. They have named her Photini. It means the bringer of the light. They've put her up there as a saint. Saint Photini. And so many Greek parents, if they have daughters, they will name that child Photini. They want that child to be the bringer of the light, joy and peace and kindness. And that's why they give her that name. Randy Bartels was here last night. He has a relative who's from Greece. He smiled at me and said, my aunt's name is Photini. Bring her the light. Can we do it? Can Trinity Lutheran Church and School be the bringer of the light? I think so. Can you do it? Elena, last closing word. Elena, she's now 12 years of age almost. When she is 4 years of age, her mom and dad and my wife made a huge mistake. They put me in charge of her. They said, we'll only be gone for 10 minutes. Can you handle this? Oh, sure. So she's in the kitchen, and I go into the living room for about 20 seconds. And when I come back in, she's climbed up on the table. And there's this huge pitcher of water. And there's her little sippy cup. And she's going to pour that water into that sippy cup. I got two words out before disaster struck. The two words were, Lainey, no. Was she upset? Was she frightened? No, she was kind of excited. She said, Papa, the water is going everywhere. The water is going everywhere. And I said, yeah, we better get this water cleaned up before they get back. The water is going everywhere. Would to high heaven that Trinity Lutheran Church and School, and you, wherever God's put you, Would that it would be said of us, the streams of living water went everywhere. From you, from this church and school, would it be said of us, it went everywhere. Didn't have to go to Sychar. The woman did it for him. Heavenly Father, be with your children on this earth, this church and school for 164 years. Thank you, Lord, for the two people that sent an email to me after Easter. They listened for the first time, and both of them indicated that they weren't believers, but now a light had entered their darkness. So, Lord, you have all sorts of vehicles, social media these days, in which the light can be brought to people. May we be three-year-old children in our faith, and may we be as bold as lions when it comes to bringing the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into other people's lives. In his powerful name, amen.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.